voting rights. So this is fascinating to me. Let's take a look at this, an honest, unemotional look. So there is a bill in Congress that would provide the government set standards for the national vote. Okay? Democrats want it, Republicans don't. The reason the bill hasn't been voted on yet is because there are a number of Democrats in the Senate that won't support it. Even if it passes, it's unconstitutional. It's clear in the Constitution that votes and how they are gathered are the precincts of the individual states. So, yes, there's a Voting Rights Act, and you can make some changes, but you can't take it over. Okay, you can't provide a uniform code from Washington and how it goes down. So it's an unconstitutional play, but the Democrats are doing this to galvanize black votes primarily, but Hispanic votes as well, minority votes, by telling those groups that you are being persecuted by the Republicans. The Republicans don't want you to vote. That's what this is all about. It's a straight political play. Democrats don't want any standards of voting consequences. Republicans want tight scrutiny of the election. So let's get specific. The big thing for me as an American citizen is we don't require an ID in this new bill. So you can vote without an ID. And if you want an ID, you're a racist, according to some Democrats. How? How is saying that you have to prove who you are before you vote racist? In what way? I have never heard a cogent answer to that question. Never. And the government will provide free IDs. Now, if the Democrats can tell me why an ID to vote is racist and why we shouldn't have it, I'll listen. But again, it's been going on for years. Never one time has Joe Biden or anybody else been able to articulate why that's racist. So if it is racist, Canada's racist. All right, in 2007, they passed a law, you got to have an ID to vote. Mexico's racist. All right, they have photo voting cards you have to show before you cast a ballot in Mexico. And 47 countries in Europe have ID requirements to vote. They're all racist, I guess. The second thing is accountability. So as you know, when you go to the poll to cast a ballot, that you go to a precinct, okay, there's not electioneering allowed. You can't stand there outside the polling place and say, vote for this person, vote for that person. Can't give anybody anything, even water. It's against the law. But in mail-in balloting, and the Democrats want 100% mail-in now, they even want computer balloting. So you would vote by computer, your own computer, and funnel it in. And they want universal mail-in ballots. There are no laws, as we saw with the Mark Zuckerberg situation, where he donated $430 million from his foundation to two groups that hired people to canvass mail-in votes. In some places, help the people fill them out, take the votes, physically take them, that's called bundling, and bring them to the precinct. There are no laws, no regulations about what a person can do in that situation. So you could, and I'm sure it happens, go in and say, if an elderly person or a person who doesn't know very much or what mentally disabled, you know, just do this, just check this, and just sign here and I'll take your vote. Okay, why do you think Zuckerberg put $430 million into it? 90% of that money went to harvesting Democrat votes. 90% of it. Why do you think he did it? And all in states that were this close between Biden and Trump. Come on, let's do the math. Yet the federal government wants to pass a law that says there are no requirements at all on this kind of a situation, that you can do this, but you can't do it at the polling place. So those two things, I'm out. I'm sorry. I know what this is. This is an attempt to manipulate. And again, if people can't show an ID or can't fill out their own ballot without somebody standing there, then they shouldn't be able to vote. In my opinion, those are the two big things. So anyway, it's not going to get passed. Not only is it unconstitutional, but a variety of Democratic senators, including Manchin, Sinema, Kelly, Tester, Shaheen in New Hampshire, they're not really on board with this. Now, maybe Schumer will be able to twist their arm, maybe. You know, he seems to think he's got the votes, but Sinema in Arizona have been very clear and not voting for it. Well, I don't know how it gets passed, even if it comes up. Okay. In New York City, the new mayor, Eric Adams, supposed to be some kind of moderate, which he's not, all right, has okayed non-citizens voting. So now about 800,000 non-American citizens vote in New York City elections. 800,000. Of course, it took about an hour and a half for a lawsuit to be filed because it's clearly unconstitutional. We went over it yesterday. And the Constitution states you have to be a citizen. We can't just be here. All right? And Adams doesn't know who these 800,000 people are. Who are they? Did they sneak across the border? Did they overstay their visa? Who are they? Adam doesn't know, but let them vote anyway. No. So that's not going to happen in New York State. The state authorities, the judges, will rule it's unconstitutional. They have to. All right? Again, unless we don't have any laws anymore, which is coming. Let's go to COVID. Now, this COVID thing drives me nuts. And I'm an intelligent guy. I follow this as closely as I can follow it because it affects all of us, our whole lives, our children, economics, jobs. And I still don't know what the deuce is going on after all this time. And that's why Biden's approval numbers are going down, because nobody knows what's going on. Okay. We broke a record in hospitalizations for COVID yesterday. All right. 146,000 people in the hospital for COVID, but not just COVID. Okay, a lot of those people have other stuff, and that's why they're in the hospital. Okay, but we don't know how many. So that's the record. And part of the problem here is that there are four questions that are unanswered. I'll go them again. Very simple questions. I did this on a radio today. First question, okay? Does the vaccine that we have protect against Omicron? Yes or no? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez got it, and she's vaxxed to the hilt, she says. So apparently it doesn't protect against Omicron. I don't know. Do you know? Does Biden know? Does Fauci know? Second question, when does the vax wane? How long? Has there been a study? It's been 2 years. Is there an average? Third question. If you get COVID, if you've had it, as 57 million Americans have, are you protected? Because now we hear people getting COVID twice. And if you are protected with antibodies, how long? Nobody knows. And finally, do masks protect you? What's the mask thing? Are there any studies that we can point to? Mask people here, unmask there, COVID guy in the middle. Give me something. And that's, again, why Biden, approval rating is falling, because he doesn't have any answers. Get vax, get vax, wear the mask, wear the mask. Okay, but give me some data. So Sotomayor, the Supreme Court justice who's hearing a case on whether Biden has a right to mandate vax, force you to get it, or you lose your job, she comes out yesterday, or over the weekend, I should say, and says 100,000 children, all right, are hospitalized with COVID. And then the CDC comes out and goes, ooh, no, 6,000. Well, that's a pretty big gap. Sotomayor is going to make a decision on this. 100,000 kids in a hospital, CDC 6,000. So on the far left program, The View, a woman named Sunny Hassan tries to stick up for Sotomayor. Roll the tape.
And right now we have 82,843 children sick with COVID. More than 1,000 children have died from the virus. And in addition, about 7.8 million children have caught COVID since the pandemic started. And so those are just the numbers.
Okay, but she's got them all wrong. You know, I'll just give you the numbers now. Okay, this is from the federal government. So about 580,000 children caught COVID in the first week of this year. 580,000, that's a lot. All right, so it's way more than Ms. Hostin says. I shouldn't say only, it sounds callous and I don't mean to do that. But from the start of the epidemic, about 721 children have died from COVID in the last 2 years, a very low number. Okay, and 8.5 children have tested positive for COVID since the start of the pandemic 2 years ago. So it's clear that children can get it, but it's not as severe in minors under 18 that it is in adults. That's the truth. Now, finally, there is a study, and this is an important thing for you anti-vaxxers out there, you skeptics, to pay attention to. All right, this study. Now, I know some anti-vaxxers are not going to believe any study from the government. You don't trust the government. I got it. But it's my job to present you what comes out of the federal government here. So this study was by the Centers for Disease Control, and it came out this week. And here's what it says. Roll.
The overwhelming number of deaths, over 75%, occurred in people who had at least four comorbidities. So really, these are people who were unwell to begin with. And yes, really encouraging news in the context of Omicron. This means not only just to get your primary series, but to get your booster series. And yes, we're really encouraged by these results.
All right. So she's basically saying that if you get vaccinated, you're not going to die. Okay, that's what this is all about now. You may get it, Omicron, as she puts it, or Omicron, as the South Africans put it. You may get it, but you're not going to die. And I think that's true based upon anecdotal, because a lot of my friends have it. Long Island, it's all over the place. And they're down for a day or two, and then they're okay. It's like the flu. But if you're unvaccinated and you get it, then you could get, you know, in serious, serious trouble. That's the study. Again, you can write me all day long. My job to present you with this information. Now, here's a story that is just amazing, that nobody will tell you about. And if you people live in California, don't pay attention to this, you're out of your minds. Did you know every day is a perfect day for peace of mind? With American Home Shield Warranty, you are covered for unexpected breakdowns like leaky faucets or faulty water heaters. Choose a plan that fits your budget and rest easy knowing repairs and replacements are taken care of. Simply contact American Home Shield when an issue arises, and their trusted pros will handle it according to your coverage. Don't let worries about appliances and home systems weigh you down. Celebrate the reassurance of protection. Don't worry. Be warranty. For 20% off plans, visit ahs.com/bill. For more details, see ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product is being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty, which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer. So there is a proposed bill, came up January 6th, last Thursday. The bill came into Sacramento, the capital of California. Remember, there are 39 million Americans, citizens in California, another, I don't know, 5 or 6 million illegal aliens. So it's by far the most populated state. So the bill is called CalCare. And it says that the state of California will take over the entire healthcare system in for every California, all 45 million people. Okay? It's going to be a single payer, which means that your taxes are paid to Sacramento, and in return, you will get, ready, 24-hour emergency services, prescription drugs, all right, medical devices, mental health care, reproductive, maternity, and newborn care. That means babysitters and dentist stuff, all right, oral health, all paid for by Sacramento. And you, the citizen of California, you don't have to pay premiums, copayments, deductibles, or anything. It's all free, but it's not free. So in order to pay for this, and California can't pay for it in their present structure, they have to raise taxes on everybody earning over a certain amount of money, say 80,000, and all companies and corporations. And I have to raise taxes big. But even then, they've never come close to covering the cost. So they're going to have to seize private property in order to institute CalCare. And that's what this is all about. It's a socialist play to seize the property of Californians. Because if California can't pay for CalCare and it passes it, then its bond status goes to junk. Nobody will invest in the state. They'll get no money from anyone. And the whole state will go into bankruptcy. The only way you can fund this is to seize private property. Now, what do I mean by that? So say you have a $6 million home in California, which is not an astronomical price out there. Well, you would be taxed on the value of that home, not only locally for property taxes, which are capped. There'd be a state tax. Maybe it's 5%, maybe it's 3%, whatever it may be, every year. So in order to live in that house, you'd have to pay a hefty amount of your money to Sacramento. Not only that, if you have stocks in your portfolio, including retirement accounts and college accounts, the value of those stocks, even though you didn't sell them, would be taxed, just like your home, right to Sacramento. That's what they want. That's socialism. The government controls the entire medical industry and takes your private property. They'd have to. They will. So if you live in California now and you have a good job and a nice home, Sacramento wants a piece of that for this CalCare. Now, why will it pass? Because most people out of the 45 million, remember, illegal aliens will get all this, all of it, okay? Most people don't have a $6 million home or an $80,000 job. So they won't get taxed. And that's the majority of people. But this will destroy the financial infrastructure of the state, and you'll have a socialistic state. And believe me, New York, Illinois, Massachusetts, Oregon, Washington State, they'll follow. If this goes through, they'll follow the same blueprint. Now, you're not going to hear that story anywhere. And now I got a guest who's an expert on this healthcare business, Dr. Bob Moffitt. He is the author of a book called No Choices, No Exit, The Left's Plan for Your Healthcare. And he is a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation, joins us now from Maryland. So am I overstating, doctor? Am I making any mistakes?
I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. Last time that they came out with this idea, the cost was $400 billion. the current tax proposals that they're coming up with right now don't come close to that. It's about $160 to $170 billion. So they're making an enormous promise. They're going to take over one of the most complex sectors of the American economy, and they're going to have it run by the California state government, and they're not going to be able to finance the total cost of this thing. The truth of the matter is, and it's not debatable, is that Californians will actually end up paying more for healthcare with this system than they would if, in fact, we continue to have them pay premiums, deductibles, co-insurance, co-payments, and so on. All of these programs overpromise, they underdeliver, and the consequence of that is that people have lower quality healthcare and higher costs.
Now, California might say, well, I'll go to concierge services with my doctor, and I'll just go around it. You can't.
If they allow you.
They won't. In the bill, says you can't. Every doctor operating in California, every medical clinic has to go through the state. They can't operate independently. That's outrageous.
Well, of course it's outrageous. They're doing away with the doctor-patient relationship as we know it. Your relationship with the doctor is going to be dependent upon what government officials say that relationship can be. That's the problem. And in fact, understand this. This is not new. The Bernie Sanders bill basically does the same thing, effectively at the national level. It says, in effect, yeah, you can have a private relationship with the doctor, but only if the doctor agrees to give up all reimbursement from the government and drop out of the program for 2 or 3 years or something like that. They're doing the same thing here. They're denying any kind of independent relationship with a physician.
But isn't this is the road to socialism? This is what this is. Once you go in and start to take people's private property by levying a tax on the value of their home or their stock and bond portfolio, even though you haven't sold it, because when you sell your stocks and your bonds, you have to pay a capital gains tax. Okay, they already got you there, but they want unrealized stocks and bonds. They want to tax you on what you're holding. The same thing with your house. And that's socialism. They're coming in to take private property. So my question is, this would be challenged in a court as unconstitutional.
Oh, yeah.
Would that
yeah.
challenge hold?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but the fact is that they're talking about expanding a level of government control over personal life that we have never seen before. And even at the state level, where the states do have a lot of authority, no question about it. It looks to me that if in fact you violate a person's right to have an independent relationship with a doctor, if you're talking about discriminatory tax policy, then I think you've got some kind of a legal case. It would, again, I'm not a lawyer. I don't want to judge, you know, a legal question, but, this is
well, it would definitely be challenged to the U.S. Supreme Court, not the Supreme Court of California. Final question is that, as I pointed out, most Californians, you said, well, people will pay more. Well, they'll pay more if they're high wage earners, but if they're not earning anything. And remember, a lot of undocumented people work off the books in the California agricultural industry and homes and things like that. So if they don't have any income, they're getting free medical care and they're not going to pay more. They're going to get it free. And that's why.
Well, they're getting it now.
Yeah, that's why
they're
this
getting
stuff,
free medical care now.
That's why there isn't this giant uprising in California, because most people calculate, well, this is good for me. I don't care about the people who have earned things too bad. And that's really right. The bottom line, isn't it?
Well, what it is, it's creating a class system where basically the middle class will be crushed by increasing levels of taxation. And on top of that, the control over their exercise of their personal freedom, including their freedom to access the kind of healthcare that they want. But you're seeing basically a situation where you have basically a war on the middle class. And that's
why
there's
been such an Karl Marx in his manifesto wanted to divide populations by race. And he said that's the quickest way to communism, and it is. Hey, doctor, thanks very much for your expertise. Really appreciate you taking the time today. Now, the media is no help here with COVID because they've taken sides. So the conservative media very skeptical about vaccines. I think that's a true statement. The liberal media loves the vaccines and the masks and the lockdowns and everything. They love it. Now, you can apply whatever, you know, rationale to either side you want, but I think that's a true statement. So you're not going to get any accurate reporting or much accurate reporting about COVID, which is unbelievable. And in the political realm, forget it. So hard news reporters hired by corporate media outlets now in their hard news presentations are injecting opinion. I'm going to give you two examples. The first one comes from PBS. Yamiche Alcindor is the White House correspondent for PBS. Roll the tape.
Republican voters, they're very interested in just trying to find people who are loyal to the Trump brand, who are going to try to find a way to change the voting laws in this country to make sure that Republicans win rather than earning the vote.
That's an opinion from a White House correspondent. It's not a fact. All right. Second one is from John Carl, who works for ABC News. Now, when I worked at ABC under Peter Jennings, it was owned by a different company. And there were stringent separations between news and opinion. In fact, the only broadcast that had opinion was Nightline. And Koppel played it pretty well down the line, straight on the line. I don't count the morning shows because that's basically entertainment. But you didn't have any opinion on World News Tonight. And if you tried to inject it into your story, you'd get in trouble if you were a correspondent. But not now. White House correspondent for ABC, Jonathan Carl. Go.
And I think it's seen clearly from the day of the election was that he could never acknowledge he lost because he believes that his power is based on the idea and the image that he is a guy who never loses. Now, that's never been true, but that's the image he has projected. He could not acknowledge losing because he thought that would cause him to lose his support. And he's been successful in convincing millions and millions of Republican voters that he didn't lose.
All right, he's talking about Donald Trump, okay? And this, again, is the White House correspondent for ABC News. He wrote a book, a Hate Trump book. Now, he's okay writing a book. That's all right, because he's not, as an author, he's not writing under the banner of Disney ABC. But he goes on, and he, this is outrageous, his opinion. All Republicans, okay, prop up Trump in a dishonest way. I mean, come on. So anyway, the reason I'm telling you all this is because I got a very interesting guest for you to talk about. And I feel this is one of the most important problems the United States faces, a dishonest media. Now, as you may know, we have a foreign news partner. It is called The Daily Chatter, thedailychatter.com. And it is very, very straight. So if I want to know something overseas, I go to the Daily Chatter, which I get every morning. And you can get it too, dailychatter.com. Okay, because it isn't ideological. They're telling me what's happening overseas. And because we don't have the staff at BillO'Reilly.com to cover overseas, I can't take BBC. I can't take the French news agency. You're going to get it all slanted, but not from Daily Chatter. The guy who runs it is named Phil Balboni. He was my news director when I worked for WCVB-TV in Boston. Now, it's an interesting story because they hired me to be a reporter. All right, so I would come on at 11 o'clock and I would report a big story in a straightforward manner, give you the facts. That's what I would do. But then they promoted me to a commentator, all right? But I couldn't do the reporting anymore because I was doing commentary every night at 11 o'clock in Boston. I was giving you my opinion, clearly labeled, all right? And it worked. Bostonians, the news audience up there, very sophisticated. They knew, okay, now it's a different role and he's a commentator, all right? And then I went back to Straight News at ABC, and then I went back to commentary at Fox News. But in my roles, I kept in the traditional journalistic ethical standard. I did that. Well, now Phil Balboni has been honored by Columbia Journalism School with the creation of the Philip S. Balboni Professorship in Local Journalism. It's an endowed chair, and he joins us now from Cambridge, Massachusetts, the heart of the left in America, Cambridge. Okay, so this is a big honor, and you deserve it. I had two news directors in my local news experience that were extraordinary, you and Steve Cohen at WCBS in New York. And I know that you remain a journalism purist. So my first question is, when did this all start to go haywire, where hard news in the corporate media could morph into opinion with no problem? When did that happen?
First of all, Bill, it's great to see you. Thank you. I would say the late 1990s, early 2000s would be about the time that things started to go in the wrong direction. You know, the internet is blamed for a lot of things. It's not the cause of all of our problems, but I think the internet and the rise of social media had some role to play in this getting away from the standards that you and I learned at an early age. I think cable news had a role to play as well. When it was all reporting, it was great. And you're talking about the broadcast networks that had very high standards. But I think a lot of the programming and cable news, particularly in the evening, was more opinion oriented. And I think people began to blur the lines between the reporting and what was opinion.
But in cable news, Phil, it's clearly labeled. You know the show, like The O'Reilly Factor. You knew it was me. You knew it was an opinion. Just like when I was on Channel 5 in Boston, when I came on, everybody knew it was an opinion. And there's nothing wrong with that. All right? Because the newspaper has an op-ed page. You know that's an opinion page. There's nothing wrong with it. But now, a company like Disney has to know, I don't think they care, that Jonathan Karl hates Donald Trump. Yeah. Hates him. Okay? Yes. So why is he the White House correspondent? Give him another beat. Right?
Yep. Shouldn't be. I mean, just to continue my narrative here, I mean, I think that the greatly increased polarization in the country has seeped into the culture of a lot of these newsrooms. And I think people, the leaders of newsrooms, have allowed this to happen. I think sometimes they're afraid because the culture of a lot of newsrooms is very different. We have a whole new generation of journalists who are working who've never really had strong leadership with strong standards above them. And I think it's clearly these standards are not being enforced.
No, most newsrooms are left wing, let's put it. Let's be honest. They're left wing. They hire leftists to do their reporting for them, and the standards aren't there. Is it the same? Because I don't watch, when I watch New York local news, it's basically a giant weather forecast for half an hour. What they're covering weather. If there's a heinous crime, they'll cover it. Big fire like we had here in the Bronx, they're all over that. But they don't really do much else, okay? I don't see a pronounced left wing bent in New York City local news. I know them all. They're not ideologues. But it's not what it used to be when you and I were working in Boston. So what's happened there?
Well, I think local news, whether it's broadcast or newspapers, they've retained higher standards, more straight down the middle approach. And even though the substance is not what it used to be, when you were on News Center 5, as we called it, we had extraordinary commitment to local reporting of substance. And that's gone. The time for it is no longer there. And there's a lot of weather and sports and and other things that are hardly important news. But
yeah, and it's a lot of that money too. It costs money to do investigations. I remember you when I was at Channel 5, Martha Raddatz, who's now at ABC, was also on the staff, and you sent her to the Philippines because there was a Philippine community in Boston. There were riots and stuff going on in the Philippines. So all of a sudden, Raddatz is on a plane going to the Philippines to cover for a local station. You never see that now. That would be impossible to happen
impossible.
Now.
Impossible. Absolutely impossible. You're right.
So isn't it all about money? Isn't the big corporations, they've decided they can make more money speaking to the choir than informing the American people about what's true? Isn't that the bottom line on this?
It's probably a big part of it, yeah. I mean, I don't want to say that everyone is doesn't care about journalism or reporting the truth, but I think they're all owned by big companies, and there isn't that sense of public service. That when I started my journalism career in 1967 in Richmond, Virginia, I was proud to be a reporter. The people in the community admired journalists, and we don't see that very much anymore.
And journalism polls are at the bottom down there with Congress.
We're way down there. But you know, I know you're going to ask me, is there any hope? And I do want to say I believe there is. I think it's going to take time. As I said, we have a new generation of journalists who have learned it one way that isn't the right way. But I think all of us who are still in the profession, you, me, and others, you know, have an important part to play. Look, I've started a number of companies that have all had the same old-fashioned values in Daily Chatter. I mean, we're passionately committed to being independent and
non-partisan. Absolutely, and that's why we partnered up with you. Well, I hope you're right about it. I don't think you are. I think journalism is done, and it's not going to come back. But Balboni is smarter than O'Reilly, so, you know, you got to put your money on him on this one. But I want everybody to check out DailyChatter.com. If you want foreign news, that is an excellent source. Hey, thanks, Phil. Stay safe up there in Cambridge. Say hello to Elizabeth Warren for me when you see her floating around, all right?
Who is there for the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who is helping our nation's homeless veterans? And who is helping our nation keep its vow to never forget 9/11? I'll tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation's In the Line of Duty programs honor our nation's heroes and their families. That includes its Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs. The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings and barbecues, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is helping to educate kids in kindergarten through 12th grade about our nation's darkest day, 9/11. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. This charity keeps its word and honors our nation's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org.
Everything is expensive these days, you know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD. 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Okay, so let's go to Michelle Obama, who, for the first time in 4 years, has kind of emerged in the world of politics. So Yesterday, front big full-page ad in the New York Times. Michelle Obama wants to get 1 million new people registered to vote. Not a bad thing, okay? Registered to vote if you're a U.S. citizen. Yeah, I want you to be registered, but Michelle Obama wants you to be registered and vote Democrat, okay? She's not looking for, not going to Wyoming to get people to register. So she's got a foundation, all right, in order to do this. And, you know, she's asking for, I guess, donations to help her out. She's going to train 100,000 volunteers to register new voters. And so the importance of this story is that she's back in the political arena. See, if she wanted the nomination in 2024, she'd get it. Just keep that in mind. So co-chairs of her foundation, which is named When We All Vote, that is Michelle Obama's foundation, Tom Hanks, Megan Rapinoe, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Faith Hill, Selena Gomez. They're on the board. All right. I don't need to comment on them. I didn't know this story, but it's been around since December 3rd, 2021, when Donald Trump was president. So the Whole Foods chain, I have one in my neighborhood. It's pretty good. They have healthier food than the other stores. They told their employees, you can't wear apparel that says Black Lives Matter. Okay? So I guess some of their employees were wearing headbands or T-shirts or whatever. So Whole Foods says that its dress code policy does not allow any messages unrelated to its grocery business, which makes sense, right? Why do you want to alienate customers? Right? You got a grocery store, no politics among the employees, right? No. The U.S. Labor Board, okay, is saying that Whole Foods is violating copyright and constitutional rights by limiting what their employees can do. So now it's in court. All right? It's amazing. The National Labor Relations Act, it's in court. In March, there is supposed to be some kind of trial. I didn't even know this was going on. But it's curious that this happened under President Trump's watch, because I don't even think he knows. He was on his way out, obviously. I don't even think he knows about this. But the Biden administration loves this, of course.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So the final thought is a plug. Out on May 3rd is my latest killing book, Killing the Killers. As I explained to you, it's supposed to be out last November, but they couldn't print them because of COVID. Because the print plants were decimated, and now it's coming out May 3rd. This book is selling well in advance, and I'm very pleased. Best reporting I have ever done in my life. Killing the Killers, the Secret War Against Terrorists. So I will guarantee you that you will like this book, and you will read it almost in one or two settings. You won't be able to put it down. That is a guarantee. I have never made that guarantee in any of my other books. Killing the Killers, order from BillO'Reilly.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Get it first. And that is the final thought of the day. We will have a new column on Sunday. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.